for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Which is emphasizing the importance of today. What you do today is kind of important because you just might not have tomorrow. I was telling Tom on Thursday, it was my last meal. Now, it was either Jennifer Kowak or it was Subway that poisoned me. I'm leaning towards Jennifer. I drove down to Subway on Thursday, and I thought, I'm going to grab myself something light. And I pulled into the Subway, and there were four Sheriff's Department officers there with rifles. That's not normal. You know, you never know how long your days are going to be when you see people with rifles hanging around. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's something very powerful about the day. Now, Daniel chapter 6 is kind of the theme of this morning. I call these habits of the day. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Meaning what he was doing was not something new. He wasn't being pious. He was just simply doing what he always did. There were habits that he prayed towards Jerusalem three times a day. We'll figure out why those are. Because I'm really interested. I won't be able to do anything in anybody's life. I'm just going to encourage you to do some things. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at different slices of this subject of habits. Because what I have learned is people that don't have proper habits, and they are habits, struggle in their Christian life. They struggle immensely. If you wake up every morning thinking about your belly button or yourself, life never gets any better than yourself. And you say, well, I don't know what I think up thinking about. Look at me. Yes, you do. What do you talk about? Yourself. So what we're going to talk about are ways of trying to reorient this thing. By the way, are you enjoying the heat? I see a lot of this. Yes, we'll be taking an offering in the next few weeks to get some air conditioning. All right. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. We're going to talk this morning about habits of the day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to introduce and reintroduce and reaffirm maybe some ideas that might be beneficial for us to develop those kinds of things that make our lives work. We all struggle with this unless we're liars. Some of us are pious liars, but we all struggle with the same things. Keeping this life moving forward in the right direction on an even keel is not easy. Help us to learn, or maybe for the first time be introduced to some habits that can do that in our life. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. In your notes, at the top of your notes, I have some statements that you will see over the next 4 weeks. They'll be in your bulletin soon. This is pure Ralph Warren. We are not what we believe. How do we know that? People change what they believe. Constantly. People that I thought believed one thing believe something else today or believe nothing at all. If you think people are what they believe, so you're going to send people off to a Christian camp or a Bible college and they're going to learn the Bible and that's going to solve their problems, folks, that is not a way of... That is a fictitious thinking that, look at me, that you can separate this thing from the rest of who you are. We are not what we believe. We are what we love, meaning love to do and do for love. And we love and only love what we repeatedly do. How would one know that? When Jesus talks about a person's heart, he says, you know, the heart and one's money, they go the same direction. Wednesday night, my daughter brought in some, she didn't do too much cooking. She brought in some Triscuits and some Brown Swagger. Oh, my goodness. You know, and there was a lot of good food there. And Brown Swagger is not special. You can buy it in any good place. But I had to have some. You say, why? Answer the question. Grew up on it as a kid. Had it constantly. We used to have it on Ritz crackers. It's part of my life. Put a little mustard on it or without the mustard. Doesn't make me any difference. It's a habit. I looked at Dr. Sachs and I said, have you tried some? He said, I don't know. There's so much good food here. And I said, don't you have a German last name? He says, just in name only. Folks, some of us try to take our children and fill their heads with information. Do you realize some of the most biblically literate people in my 20 years in this church were the worst Christians? And you know one of them. Could never connect life with the Bible. Because life is not some intellectual stuff floating around in your brain. Life is what you do repeatedly. Shocking, isn't it? So you can go off to your little clicky group, whichever it is, that the answer of all of mankind is learning about creation or about prophecy or about the Bible or whatever your little trick is. But that's an intellectual thing. No, who you are is what you do repeatedly. Your customs, your rituals, your rhythms, your habits. It's always that way. And by the way, it's really hard to change habits. That's the reason you find people that have this problem. Look up here. Or they have this problem not being able to control this thing. They got all the beliefs right, but this thing ain't right. They can't get the habits down. So we're going to talk about habits. Just that simple. And this nothing revolutionary, folks. I'm going to actually present some real simple things that all of us can grab a hold of. And nicely, you can adjust to your life. These aren't OCD behavior. Thou shalt do this, boom, boom, boom. No, it's just rhythms. It's habits, things that help you. So let's read all that again. We are not what we believe. We are what we love, meaning love to do and do for love. We love and only love what we repeatedly do, our habits, our customs, our rituals, our rhythms. And we have so many, it's hard to even know them. When I was a kid, my dad read the paper. Every single line. Let me ask a question. Does anybody in here read the paper today? Some do? Raise your hand. Old man, young lady. It's an age thing. Do you realize nobody young reads the paper? Yes? My dad would, he read it all, and I'm like, really, you read the whole thing? And he did a certain way. He would take the paper, he would turn it backwards, he would be folding, and I'm like, I haven't even looked at a paper in years. There's nothing wrong with the paper, by the way. That's not my point. My point is, why do you do it? It's kind of like part of your habits. Yes. Some people eat 3 square meals a day, which makes one round. Some people watch TV programs, and they call it my program. So what we want to do, and I'm going to introduce this quickly. I'm going to go through the first part quickly so we get to the second part, which picks up on what to do. When I'm talking about habits, we're looking at the text in Daniel because Daniel is, folks, you don't get to a place, and I've said this many times, where you say, I'm going to stand for what I believe. No, it doesn't work that way. You believe what you stand for, those habits, those things ingrained in you. This is the reason in college. You can go through a place like Maranatha or Bob Jones, get all this great information, be around all these godly people, and walk right out into the slop. And you're wondering, they didn't have the habits. It's about who you are. It's about what you repeatedly do. Holy folks, it's that way every place. So, when I say habits, we'll start with this. Habits for spiritual purposes. I'm not referring to bad habits today or weird habits or strange habits or the fact that I eat Brown Swagger. I don't care about that. We're talking about those habits for spiritual purposes. Look in your notes. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Now, why towards Jerusalem? Is that pious? No, there's a reason for that. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, in your notes, we'll just start with this. Daniel developed godly habits. These were godly habits. Next, but more importantly than that, based on Scripture. You see, and I'm going to do this quickly, we're not going to read the text. You need to read the text when you go home today. In 1 Kings 8, I think it's 1 Kings 8, is that correct? I think there's a fellow by the name of Solomon. Some of you have ever heard of him? Solomon lays down some principles that if you ever get in trouble and you get cast aside, what should you do? Then you have a guy named Jeremiah that comes along quite a bit later. Jeremiah, of course, preached both before and really right at the beginning of the captivity, of the last captivity, the last captivity in 586. So both before and at the beginning. And he says, when you go into captivity, you're going to be there a certain length of time, and I want you to do certain things. So Daniel wasn't trying to be pious where he could show to everybody he was being pious. This isn't that kind of behavior. This is a matter of the heart. This is a matter of God's told me to do this, and I'm going to develop those habits that fulfill that. We'll read the passage in Jeremiah. Would you read with me? Verse 1 says, now these are the words of the letter of Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Daniel would have been one of these. Ezekiel probably would have been one of these too. Verse 12 says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So, I mean, they were doing those things that were taught, praying towards Jerusalem and this city and all those sorts of things. Underneath that, I say this, that became who he was. The longer you do something, the more it becomes actually who you are. It isn't the stronger you believe something. Friend, I cannot emphasize enough, one of the weaknesses of dispensational Christianity and anything it influenced from, I'm talking about Louis Spear Schaeffer, the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and following, is they intellectualized Christianity far too much, and it wasn't enough of the habits of what one does. I'm not saying the men were that way, but the way they preached, the only thing that was important was this. As long as you believe right, we have seen major figures, which I'm not going to bore you with names, start down a path and depart. Why? They didn't have proper habits this thing and of the day. That's what we're looking at. Let's continue. So this became who he was. They were part of, or they were the rhythms of, his life. They were just rhythmically practiced, as I say in your notes, that he practiced joyfully. This is not some kind of thing that, I got to pray. It was just part of who he was. Let me ask you a question. You get up in the morning. Now, everybody's a little different on this, but me has to be. First thing out of bed, not the first thing, but pretty close, I'm going to take a shower. You ever been around somebody that doesn't take a shower? Louis, now I know Louis never did this. What year did you join the Navy? Oh my goodness, short timer. When I joined back in 1975, I didn't realize there were people that didn't take a shower. Now it's okay if you don't take a shower if you're not around people. There are people that didn't brush their teeth. Now, I know you couldn't do this in the Navy today, but in the old days, you got a first chance. This is not your religion. This is a fact. No one told you to do it, but you didn't want to smell somebody in small spaces that hadn't taken a shower in a week. So he got a shower. He got thrown in there, and if that didn't work, he got a rough shower. You say, well, what? Wire brushes. Trust me, you didn't get two of those. We had to do that to two or three guys in the company I was in. He was going to take a shower. Why? They weren't religious enough. They didn't believe that. They didn't have proper habits. Things that just kind of part of their life. We have people in this church that don't know how to take a shower. Don't know how to brush their teeth. I thought that's kind of the second thing you did. Somewhere in that shower you brushed your teeth. Starts in about sixth grade here. Seventh grade smells so bad, it's just, When I go into Christie's room, you have one of two smells. You either have the smell of boys, or you have the smell of whatever she has to overcome the boys, which almost kills you too. Now, let's draw back in. I'm not trying to be funny. I say in your notes, and by the way, this is the center of everything I'm going to say, the next statement. I'm going to assume a dialectical process happens to us all. You say, I don't even know what that means. Good. Well, you will. And by the way, for all of you that take notes, I'm not interested in your notes. I'm interested in you grabbing the idea. I don't care who you are. When you get up, let's say you rise at 0600, let's just pretend, and you go to bed at 2230. And if you don't know what those means, ask some sailor. I'm going to assume a dialectical process. Whoops, that's not how I wanted to draw that yet. I'm going to assume this. You start out today with a little bit of this. Kind of focus on what you're supposed to be doing. Yes? But what do I mean by dialectical process? Well, there's all these things you're supposed to be doing, and then there's that thing called life that ruins all those things you're supposed to be doing. So what happens is, the dialectical process, you go from focus to unfocused. Is that a word? Or unfocused? How about that? That's a word. You know, everything works pretty well. I came here this morning. I was all ready to teach. I had the notes set up for Frenchie. Got here and realized after 10 minutes of looking, I had taken my physical notes home. So then I had to change plans and teach this instead of what I was going to teach. All of it's in the same order. You say, well, things get unfocused. Do you get that way? Answer the question. Or when you wake up in the morning, your life is, really? Things happen. You get unfocused, disfocused, whatever term you want to use. And I'm going to assume somewhere during the day you need to do this. Does that work for you? So you say, what are you talking about, habits of the day? All I'm talking about really is what Daniel was doing in the morning, and somewhere in the afternoon, lunch, afternoon, and somewhere in the evening. He kind of focused and refocused. And look at me in the eyes, Andy. If you don't do this, you will be a zero in life. Because life happens, and the next thing you know, now I'm going to nuance this some, because as some of you know, I don't believe the morning starts at 6 a.m. Frenchie, when's the morning start? It actually starts the night before when you go to bed. You know, last thought, first thought. Every bitter person I've ever met, their problem is they never get control of the mind the night before. I'm thinking in a Jewish way where the day started the night before, because I've learned that it actually does. Your day didn't start now. Your day started last night and what you did last night. All right, we'll talk about that. So you understand the process. If you want to use other words, there is an orientation to the day. And, of course, then there's life. Then there's that disorientation. And then hopefully, if you learn some proper habits, then there is this thing called reorientation. And let me say this, no matter what your age is, you're going to have to learn the process, and you're going to have to learn something. Look at me. Some kind of habits to get your mind and heart back to that place where it needs to be. We all do. All right. Anybody got quick questions, like 30-second question on that? Does this make sense to you? It really doesn't make any difference who you are. You're going to run into this. Now, some people are better than others. And when you're young, you're better than you are when you're old. Listen, folks, I can go downstairs from upstairs and get down there like, what did I come down here for? Yes. So I go back upstairs. By the time I get back upstairs, I remember. Daniel, that doesn't happen to you, does it? You're young. In your notes, the habits I'm referring to focus on two things, orientation and reorientation. Okay, that's the disorientation will take care of itself. You don't need habits for that. You'll have plenty of disorientation in life. You need to orient your life and reorient your life. And these need to just become cyclical, folks, just part of who you are. So, you know, you want to disciple people. You don't disciple people with religious goop. You disciple people with habits. You know what's sad? Country people where I'm from had lots of positive habits like this. The farther we move into this generation, the more just chaotic kind of people we are. We've got to come back to orientation, reorientation. Here are some verses that might help you with that. I suggest the Lord's Prayer. I think that's a good place of orientation. First thing in the morning, work through it, pray through it. Everybody has a different kind of time. Now, I'm going to move on to point number two, if I might. Habits at specific times. Pastor Warren is going to recommend to you. Now, I already know I'm going to have some people that are much, much smarter and more spiritual than me in the room. I know that up front. So what you'll end up doing is nothing. People that are smarter than me end up doing nothing. But if you're not smarter than me and you would like to listen to the scripture, this will help you. I'm just going to suggest specific times being three times a day. Broadly conceived, friend, I'm going to talk about beginning the day, ending the day, and somewhere in the middle of the day. That's all I'm going to recommend. Meaning, a day you work, you do computer stuff, you never have anything go wrong. Everything's always perfect. Actually, did you ever think about most of our jobs are jobs that are problem solving? Did you ever think about that? By the very nature of a problem means you're disoriented. So however your day works, somehow in the beginning, orientation, some reorientation, and somewhere before you go to bed, some reorientation so you're ready for. And this just becomes a cyclical nature of your life, just your life. Let's look at the text, please. It says, He kneeled upon his knees three times a day. He prayed, he gave thanks. Psalm 55:16-17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, here are just bullet points, but I'm going to give you specifics. These are rhythms. These are not OCD behavior, which has no benefit. If you tend to OCD, we are not talking about that, and God forbid that you should ever continue down that kind of a path. This is not 6 o'clock. No, this is something that happens like your heartbeat, by the way, and your heart does not beat in an OCD fashion. It beats in a rhythmic fashion, which is a little different between each one. Sorry, folks. Some people think, man, if I organize everything, no, that actually does the opposite. It's rhythm. This deals with life, I say in your notes, and the day's tendency towards whatever term you want to use, distraction, disorientation. I mean, all we're looking at is some way of fighting this and of keeping yourself in so much a habit and a rhythm in your life that it's who you are. So if you're at home on Monday, this is who you are. If you're away for a week of vacation, do you realize rhythmic people's lives don't change much? Chaotic people's lives are never the same. Rhythms is how you live. Just how you live. I don't do any. I go to bed about the same time if I'm on vacation or I'm not. I do about the same things. You say, well, oh yeah, during the day I might go out and go look at sights and stuff, but we come back, I take a nap every day. You say, why? It's part of my reorientation. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. You say, well, it's just, folks, I don't live a chaotic life. I try to develop rhythms that help my life make sense. Let's continue. This is very important, and we'll get to more specifics, but this need not be long. When I say orientation and reorientation, Romeo, I had lunch with him yesterday and his lovely family. Both the young ladies just graduated from college, and you both said it was hard. Was it really hard? But they both graduated with honors. Wonderful. Did you graduate with honors from your first 2 years? You better have. We should be making sure. By the way, as a young lady or a young man in college, you get a lot of stuff on your mind. You'll hear a preacher say, man, you need to read 12 chapters of the Bible a day. The first thing that happens is it's It's what we go back to 2 weeks ago. It's either 12 chapters a day or none. That's foolishness, folks. What I'm talking about doesn't take you 3 hours to do. What I'm saying is you find in your life and in your schedule and in your whatever's going on in your life, those little gaps. Maybe in the morning. By the way, in the morning for me is not the time to meditate. If I do, I'll still be in bed. I do that at night. Some people in this room are hard workers. Some aren't. The folks that are hard workers that work all the time, I don't know how they do this. I just know this. I'm not asking anybody to develop a habit where they have to read 12 chapters of the Bible. You know, don't do stuff like that. Find what works. For instance, folks, you got to take a shower. In the shower is a real good time to take passages, which I'll talk about now and probably next week or the week after. Quote them to yourself. Speak to the Lord. Seal the morning. That doesn't take an hour. You got to take a shower. I can't read a book in the shower. Can you? Now, I know some of you probably have a television, so you can watch television in the shower, but I don't. My point is you got to take a shower. So you already got however minutes it takes you to take a shower. For an average guy, that's 32 seconds. For a woman, it might be longer. Yes? Look at me. You already have one of them sealed right up front. You going to eat in the daytime? You can set aside 3 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Can vary. My friend, I'm not trying to say develop habits that take a lot of time. I think if you were to ask me, my least amount of time is here. My most amount of time is here. In the middle for me is in the middle. But actually, a lot of times, these two are both pretty brief. All right, for me, in your notes. This can, and this is a nice thing, this can be combined with other practices, like quiet time Bible study. So if you already have, let's say you already do Bible study in the morning. Well, Pastor Warren is not asking you to stop that in the least. That's a wonderful thing. But Bible study in the morning won't solve your problem because life happens and then your mind starts going off in a thousand ways. So you have to develop something during the day that kind of goes, you know, like a dog that gets off, get the dog back. Back to orientation or reorientation. And at the night, reorientate the heart and the mind so you go to sleep in the right place. That's it. Maybe for some of you, this would be your longest time. These are two short ones. I don't know. That's just my thinking. Next. It must begin, first of all, with orientation. So, morning. As I've already said, always according to the person, available time, responsibilities, etc., etc. The possibilities are nearly endless. 3 to 4 chapters of Scripture. Maybe my wife gets up and reads the Bible early. I never read the Bible early. It's not my thing. Maybe just do the Lord's Prayer. I prefer when I go in, brush my teeth. What else are you doing when you brush your teeth? Thinking about your belly button? Thinking about who you hate? Thinking about yourself? Or how about this? Put up some verses. Do whatever's necessary to orient during. You got to brush your teeth. You got to take a shower. Drying hair doesn't work for me because I'm better than you. But sometimes my wife will call and I'll say, wait a minute, I need to dry my hair. Now, for most of you, you would think that 2 swipes, the hair is dry, we're good. So it takes like 15 seconds. Not enough time. But the shower is. Let's continue. I say in your notes, almost endless possibilities of this nature. The other possibilities have to be you, friend. So you need to decide what you need to do in the morning, and I would recommend, and really that should be tied to whatever happens the night before, during the middle of the day, towards the end of the day, these things that orient and reorient you to a God-centeredness, to a true centeredness, that's what we're looking for. The habit, I say in your notes, is much more significant than the specifics. I don't care about your specifics. If you prefer to read, look at me, if you like in the morning to read a psalm, read a psalm. If you want to read a proverb, read a proverb. If you like to read 10 chapters, read 10 chapters. If you like to quote Psalm 23, do something. Look at me. I'm quoting a D.L. Moody statement. For all of you in this room, that are always smarter than me. And frankly, you know who you are. Meaning you question everything I say. I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. Got that? So from Jericho, which is a young man, to Daniel, which is a young man, to old men like, well, Ron's an old man. Frenchie, we don't get quite that age, 200 and whatever it is. Listen, everybody needs to do it. So don't come to me next week and say, well, you know, just do it. Find something that works. By the way, start the day, reorient the day, close the day off properly. Now, some of you know there's a verse in Psalms 119, seven times a day. You're not doing seven times. And that's not what the verse means anyhow, but, you know. All right, next page. I'll give you some suggestions. We'll have to do this quickly. I say in your notes, this means reorientation midday, sometime midday. Now, again, even this is going to change. And there's people in this church that go to work so early. It's crazy. Some people, they go to work in the afternoon, so midday is going to mean different things. But the possibilities are nearly endless. Let me give you just a couple of quick ones. How about a proverb a day? When I was in the Navy years ago, which I don't do now, I had a break in the morning for coffee break. It was from 9 to 9:15, sometimes from 9 to 9:30. I was young. I didn't drink coffee, so I did a proverb a day during that break. It was a real nice, not that there was ever any disorientation in the Navy. Dirty jokes, filthy language, anger, and all that stuff. You got to find out some little place where you get alone with God and just spend a little time. For me, it was 9 to 9:15 for a couple of years. It worked perfectly. You got to find something like this. You could do a psalm. You can do the psalms in many ways. There's 150 psalms. Now, my math, I am not quite up there with Mrs. Hall, but I think if you divide 150 psalms, you know, you could divide them into weeks. You know, I think there's 52 weeks. If you just did this, one psalm a day, and 52, you know, you got 52 weeks, so you just did 7 days on one psalm. Does that work? You got 52 weeks, and you even have 2 weeks for messing up. You understand? You got 2 weeks because you were whatever, busy. That'd be a great thing. Some of you have never read the Psalms, or you said in the last 35 years you've read the Bible through one time and you think you've accomplished something. By the way, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I mean, this is our life. Just choose a chapter. 52 is not perfect, but it works. Just one psalm. So for the 14th week, I'm going to read the 14th psalm. I'm going to read it all week. I'm going to read it over and over, and it'll start becoming your own. Just a good suggestion. I think it works. I would suggest maybe a little time. You know, and these are just other quickly. Prayer. You could do some, you know, pray at a certain. I don't care which time you pray. You pray all three times. Meditation, time of praise or giving thanks. Boy, giving thanks is a good thing. Do you reckon? Yesterday, I heard there was a couple of demons or deacons here that were working on somebody's water softener all day. Well, I'm glad they did it because I don't know how to do it. I don't know if they knew how to do it either, but they got it done. There was one master chief and two senior chiefs. Is that right? You needed some workers over there is what you needed. All right, those are all suggestions. By the way, folks, I'll give you one last suggestion. This can be from 30 seconds to an hour. It makes no difference. Oh, I don't care about time. I don't care about your religion. I care about you doing this. When you get up in the morning, get yourself focused. When you go into life, refocus. And at night, refocus for the next day. I don't care about religion. I don't care about any of the nonsense I have heard that nobody does. What I care about is something you can do tomorrow. Something your kids can do. Something everybody can do. Something real simple. And you know what? You do this over the next 6 months and you'll start to see your life as a different kind of thing altogether. You won't be as distracted by yourself. In your notes, this should not be added to your schedule. I'm not interested in you adding something to a schedule, but become part of your schedule naturally. I told one of the missionaries this week, I think our life is lived in the gaps. And regardless of who you are, you have some kind of gaps. Look at me, please. I want to speak to Jericho because you had an easy semester, didn't you? You didn't? I love Jericho. Listen, Jericho was in a rough semester. These two young ladies just finished up. I know that all of us are busier than them with our clicker. But frankly, no matter who you are, you got to find the gaps. There's always little gaps. Most places at work give you a break. Why do you waste that time chitter-chattering? Now, if you're going to go witness to somebody, God bless you. If you're going to go have a conversation that matters, God bless you. If you're going to go chitter-chatter and gossip, none of that's Christian. So, find that little, you understand, just a little gap. Morning, sometime in the afternoon, evening. And boy, this, unless you're one of those people that never have anything that distracts you. All right, in your notes, here are some reorientation verses, and wow, we're not going to have time to do these. So, how am I going to do this? I'll give them to you one time. Are you ready? I'm going to give left to right. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Deuteronomy 29:29. How about that one? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. You know these verses? How about this, folks? How about, what did I have in here in Psalms? I have Psalm 118, verse 24. We've already quoted that one. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Not a bad verse. How about 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whether therefore ye eat or drink. By the way, these are great verses that kind of get your mind off of you back to where it ought to be. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost, or the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, be with, just things that grab your mind back to truth. Galatians 2:20, Galatians 6:14, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen, folks, I'm quoting this. Do you understand? This mind is not different than your mind. Here's the problem. Some of you, that's Pastor Warren's job. Are you kidding me? Whose Christian life are you living? I'm going to go back to the beginning of the notes. We are not what we believe. Have you not figured that out with your own kids and grandkids and relatives? We are what we love, and we love what we repeatedly do. It's habits. It's the way God made us. By the way, that's, we'll get to that in a few weeks. All right, see, we're at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the, well, that's 3:21, excuse me. Colossians 3:17 and 23 are good verses on, you know, giving God your all. Let me see here. I got a couple verses from Romans. Romans 8:18, Romans 8:28. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. These are just possibilities. I'm assuming you know all these. Hebrews 13:20 and 21. I'll have many of these written down later because these are all about God. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 are great verses. 1 Peter 5:10 and 11 are also great verses. Revelation 4:11, these are all suggestions. All right, folks, I say in your notes, this also requires a new orientation in the evening or at night. So if you look at your life as this, there is a natural tendency to get disoriented, disfocused, disgruntled, all kinds of stuff. Look at me, is this true of you? Then somehow, through habits, we must get ourselves to a place where we have an orientation, because life takes care of the disorientation. Somewhere in the middle of the day, we can reorient my heart and mind. You might do something as simple, if you're not a great reader, 150 Psalms, you read the same psalm in the morning, you read the same psalm at noon, you read the same psalm at night, and get your mind on a path. You know, you would start knowing the Scripture. As opposed to this being intellectual pursuits, it would be heart matters. And here's what's nice. Every farmer that was a Christian I ever met had these habits in spades. You know why? They spent a lot of time alone with themselves. This will probably require you to turn off the foolishness. Yes, it will. Yes. I tell you in your notes, everybody here already knows this. Last thought, what? Folks, if you haven't gotten this down, you haven't begun following Scripture. This is the beginning. So really, where does the orientation take place? It's an ongoing thing that starts the night before. When you wake up the next morning, you're right back to orientation, and then life happens and you reorientate, and at night you reorientate, but really that's the orientation for the morning, and it's an ongoing process. It's got to happen. I say in your notes, remember the most important part of the day, and this is not in large capital letters by accident, the most important part of the day is the night before. Every person I have met that has problems with their mind never gets it under control. And the way to get the mind under control, look at me. My daughter was telling me things, and I don't like what she tells me about students with porn habits. But I can tell you how I got rid of the porn habit. And I didn't have access like kids do today, but I know all of your kids are good kids. I didn't even have access to that filth. You know how I got, by the way, porn is not about what you see on a screen or what you see in a book. Porn is right here and right here. How do you get control of it? By getting control of this thing, taking every thought captive. And that'll happen when at nighttime you go to bed and you get your mind wrapped around what it ought to be wrapped around off, and you gently fall asleep. And you wake up the next morning and you grab it the next morning and you teach your lovely children the same. Or you can be like you always been. In your notes, here's where it gets in your business. Sorry. Habits with a physical component. I want everyone to look at me. Every habit you have, whether you know it or not, has physical components. When we get religious, we don't want physical components. Piosity wants to be pious. Habits have physical components. I love Debbie most of the time. If you sit around Debbie, this is what you're going to find. She's checking that phone every 5 seconds. I've told, and I recommend, Gail, Lois, not here, and every other woman in this room, take the remote and hide it. See how your husband does. Look at me. You don't are you listening? Listen. Don't you play the game of bouncing. You have a physical component and you don't know it. Our bodies are very physical. Why do you think eating has so many physical components? You know that? You taste it, you smell it, you touch it, you see it. You'll never have habits unless you develop physical components with it. This isn't piosity in the sky. Every habit in the Bible where they're doing something. So watch Debbie the next time you go out to eat with her. She puts her phone here. By the way, that's a bad habit. She knows it. And I love her. Not as much as I love him, but I love her. By the way, she thinks maybe Haggis has texted me. Exactly. All right, we better hurry. We're going to be a little late. By the way, I've got everybody's attention now. Watch people when they're... Jim Duncan taught years ago on a little book called Who Moved My Cheese. I think I'll have Jim teach on Who Moved My Remote. Uh-oh. Not that he has that problem. Daniel 6. Notice what Daniel did. He just got pious, right? No, he went into his house. He opened the windows. He kneeled upon his knees. Do you see the physical component? Yes or no? Kings 8, 54. He arose from before the altar, from kneeling on his knees. I'm not saying you need to kneel. I'm saying there was a physical component. Ezra 9. Having rent my garments in my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Mark 11, and when you stand praying, there's something physical. John 17, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. I say in your notes, this is the most significant idea. Apart from this, there will be no habits. We're going to be 3 minutes late, folks, so just hang loose. I say this, change of time, place, location, that's all the same, really. Change of time, place, or location, and activity is essential. Change of time, place, location, and activity is essential. The habit, the kneeling on his knees with the window that had to be opened. I mean, those are all, look at me. When he did his reorientation, he walked in, opened the window, got down on his knees. There's a physical component. Everything you do that has a habit connected to it, there's a physical component. Watch people with their TV and their food. And it's just, you don't recognize it. By the way, you'll never break habits until you recognize the physical component connected to the habit. Because the tactile stuff is what makes it a habit. It's not in your mind. It doesn't overcome you. Your whole body reorients to those habits, whatever they are. Now, my daughter gave me pages of this information. I will tell you this, Christy could tell you this, Nicole is one of the best ever at this. Any classroom, watch those women in the lower elementary, they don't bring those kids in at 8 o'clock and say, sit down and shut up and put your pencil on the desk. That's not how it works. They have 1,000 ways of reorienting the children to learning. They clap. Amy talked about clapping rhythms. I'm like, what? Christy, is this true? See, she has all kinds of this stuff. Sometimes she does it on their head. By the way, my least favorite program, but one that's best, and I will close with this. I don't watch the program, but the program was good for little kids. There was a program on for decades. It's probably still on. And a certain gentleman would walk in. He would take off his jacket. He would put on his sweater. A cardigan specifically, he would zip it up. From my understanding, his mother made him cardigans, over 25 of them, one each year. He took off his shoes, he put on his navy blue boating sneakers, and he did that around 865 times. And some of you missed the whole point. What he was doing was orienting the children to something different. So here's what God wants us to do. Three times a day, more or less, you need to grab a hold of orienting the heart and the mind so it becomes what you do. Look at me. I don't care how long it is. Doesn't interest me. What interests me is you go to bed the night before, get the physicality that will make it new. You get up in the morning, choose the place, the time, the activity, the physical part, so it becomes ingrained in you. At lunchtime or whenever, reorient. And let me say this, the most life-changing things as a disciple of Christ is to actually become a disciple and do something different. Families, take the remote. Take the telephone. See how hard it is for people not to have those. That's the nature of habits. But here's what I want. Positive habits that keep you oriented. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to gather here and talk about, I think, rather serious matters. Habits of the day. May we begin some habits, simple things. And for most of us, may we fill out these habits where we recognize, sure, some of us have Bible study every day. That's wonderful. But make sure we're doing something morning, somewhere during the day, and somewhere towards the night, so we're reoriented, all ready to go for the next morning, and we make these the habits of life. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.